Many of us in Murray Bridge are patiently awaiting the completion of the major refurbishment works of the old 1879 bridge across the river, which is set to be finished later next year. A lot of care's going into extending the bridge's life as it carries with it a lot of history as the first major bridge spanning the Murray River. Veteran Australian broadcaster and history buff Keith Conlon knows a thing or two about what went on when it was first installed. He joins me to discuss. Morning, Keith.
Morning, and there's no truth in the rumour I was there, Jenny.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit before your time. But, you know, as a lover of history and someone who has a connection with Murray Bridge as well, I understand it is steeped in a lot of political and cultural history.
Oh yeah, it's a saga. And wearing my chair of the South Australian Heritage Council hat, I'm delighted that the government is spending money on what is really one of our great state heritage places when you think about it. In fact, there's that whole complex around it, the railway station and the wharf and the roundhouse where the superintendent looked out for years seeing its construction. It's a really important place in our history, you're right.
And it was called the Great White Elephant of South Australia. Can you tell us about why that was?
It's a great line, isn't it? What? How dare you? It wasn't about the bridge when it was up. It was about the bridge when it got here in pieces and had nowhere to go. We'll get back into the story a bit later, but what happened was because of delays in even getting started with construction, they'd already ordered it from the Crumlin Viaduct Works in Wales. It came out and they thought, oh, what do we do with all this steel? So they stuck it in the railway yards at Dry Creek, out towards, well, these days, you know, the wetlands and so on, just over Grand Junction Road. And there it all was lying for years, literally years, and that's how it got the name.
Right, and there was apparently a lot of political back and forth about who was going to get it, who gets to have the bridge across the Murray River first.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking, we finished the bridge in 1879, but the first mention of a bridge goes back to about 1861 when they say, well, I think we need a bridge. What's happening is that people are actually swimming cattle and so on across the river, and they're doing it down at Wellington, and they're doing it just pretty close to where the bridge is. They're doing it up and down as people are bringing fresh meat, you know, to the new colony of South Australia. And in fact, the name of the place who scored the bridge was Edwards Crossing.
Uh-huh.
So they got the bridge, but they lost the name eventually. Now, that leads to the question, of course, why was it Edwards Crossing?
Yes.
Well, that's because in the 1850s, George and Mary Ann Edwards set up the first sort of farmhouse on good Narrangeri Nation land, pretty close to where we're talking about. And they realised that this was actually a crossing point. Here comes another overlander. So they started what I would claim to be the first roadhouse in Australia. They started feeding them. And it just got to be called Edwards Crossing. So we got a name.
Yep.
And so that's the name that gets mentioned in these parliamentary committees of the 1860s. They think about four places at least, from Wellington all the way up to near Swanport. No, not Swanport. Beachport. What's the next one? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. So all that way, there's about four options. And, of course, there's fierce rivalry between the MPs. And in fact, would you believe, I mean, these are these sliding doors moments.
Mm.
The decision on where the bridge goes was won by one casting vote in a parliamentary committee back in the 1860s.
So what?
Might have been somewhere else altogether.
Oh, so it might have been in Swan Reach or another place along the river.
Could have been down south at Wellington. Then there's a question of what's it going to look like. There was even talk of maybe a suspension bridge. It'd be a massive suspension bridge, wouldn't it?
Right.
I don't think they'd realised there was a swamp on the other side of the river at that stage. So, yeah, there's a lot of argy-bargy goes on until finally they get going in the 1870s, and it takes several years to build. And one of the problems was, and this gets back to we've ordered the stuff from Wales, the first boreholes were seen to be a bit shonky, and so they had to go again and then start sinking these giant cylinders. They're about 6 foot, that's nearly 2 metres in the old money, all those cylinders that we actually, you know, the bridge sits on and we drive across. So eventually they get going, and by 1879, at last, it is opened. Not really officially, though. It's a bit of a saga involved even in that.
Tell us more.
Well, it's getting really... I don't know whether they really cared about this, but the Echuca Bridge was being built at the same time. So the first two bridges across the mighty Murray are being constructed exactly the same time. The Echuca Bridge has actually been finished probably a little bit before, but they put a gate across it. Because what do you need a bridge for in those days? Well, you needed it to shift some sheep or cattle across the river. So they just closed the gate and no one could go across.
Oh.
Meanwhile, at Murray Bridge, or Edwards Crossing as it's still called, there's a paddle steamer's coming up the river, and the captain says, well, go out and go and have a look at the new bridge. They come up and have a look at the bridge and say, well, the engineer said, well, you want to walk across it? So they, yeah, okay, we'll walk across it. They stuck a flag up in the middle, and it was opened. So it was purely, you know, just, oh, well, might as well be today.
Wow.
And as a result, the Murray Bridge that we're talking about is the first bridge across the Murray to be opened by a few days.
There you go. With us at the moment is history buff Keith Conlon. We're talking about the history of the old 1879 bridge across the river, the first to be opened across the river along the Murray River. And from what I understand, that also opened up a whole lot of other opportunities, not just, you know, getting cattle and produce across and being able to see, you know, your new neighbours now, but also helping us get to Melbourne.
Oh, exactly. So then by the time you get to the 1870s, people are starting to talk about maybe a rail link with Melbourne. So then you get another saga. You've got the big question of, you know, what... who's going to get the railway line? Where is it going to go? Through what district? And that's really a huge turning point in terms of the town itself. The bridge that's been built to take the sheep and cattle across, they stick a railway line down the middle, don't they? And
yes.
So the train eventually arrives on Boxing Day in 1885. I reckon 500 people came up from Adelaide, up through the hills, onto the new line, and that was as far as it got. And then eventually, not too many years later, we're pushing through, and so we've got the great intercolonial link with Melbourne and Murray Bridge. The bridge, of course, is absolutely crucial to that.
Wow. Now, with huge projects like bridges, they can be pretty dangerous. Do you know if there were any accidents or deaths as a result of that construction?
I already sort of heard through the ages, because my mum grew up in Murray Bridge, and so there was always that kind of folklore tale about somebody falling into the concrete or something. And thanks to the Murray Bridge Historical Society, who wrote an article only 3 or 4 years ago on this, we can talk about poor old Jack Elliott. In fact, he was a young bloke. He was in his 20s and he'd been a miner down at Callington, and the money was good up in Murray Bridge on the construction. So he was one of those who went down inside those cylinders as they sank them slowly through the mud and through the dirt and right down to the granite bedrock. They reckon in some places it might be 100 feet down. Now, he and a partner, they go down on a rope, I guess, into this chamber, which, as we mentioned earlier, is only about sort of 2 metres across. And they have to dig out some stuff, they called it, and I guess it was, you know, mud and gunk and whatever, over thousands of years. But they had to keep away from the sides. There's an old newspaper report about his death that says they were warned that the flanges came in a bit, and therefore don't get near them or you could get sucked down with it. Very sadly, that's exactly what happened. I guess they tried to manage when it dropped down, when they'd got enough gunk out, enough of the stuff out, but it went early and he got caught and was dragged down, and it took him a couple of hours to dig out the dirt and so on.
Oh, dear.
And so he was sadly lost, and he's actually buried in the Callington Cemetery.
Right. There you go. Well, nice to actually dig into the history rather than just going along with a folklore. That's always quite refreshing,
yeah,
isn't it, to actually know what went down.
It is. And then you get the saga of the port itself. As soon as the rail comes through, then that's really a signal that this could be a major port, the port of Mobilong. And so, we can still see the remnants of the old port. There used to be a butter factory there and massive amount of work going on. By about the early 1900s, at one stage, they put out 35,000 bags of wheat. It's just extraordinary, coming down from further upstream and being taken off onto the trains and down to Adelaide. In fact, Mobalong, the port of Mobalong, just under the bridge there, it became one of the big three, Morgan, Echuca, and the Mobalong port. And poor old Gula started dipping out pretty seriously because naturally you don't have to go as far. You can stick it on the train and get it off to Adelaide and to the world pretty quickly. So Mobalong became a very busy river port. And in part, that's because, I guess, of the rail infrastructure that was already there. So the bridge is playing a bigger and bigger role. And that raises the question of the name. So we've poor old Edwards Crossing, that name's lost. Mobalong was what everybody called the bridge. It was the bridge at Mobalong until the 1920s when, oh, it was called the Murray Bridge. Mm. But the town itself, it was only in the 1920s when local government was set up for the town that they decided to call themselves Murray Bridge.
There you go. And what about the more iconic-looking bridge, the one that has two different types of steelworks?
Yeah, as you can imagine, as we get cars, so we're into the 1920s, there's cars now, there's much more demand, the rail needs to get are growing naturally as both the state grows on the other side of the river and then we can get to Melbourne. So in the 1920s, it was decided to build that great railway bridge. So 1925 is the railway bridge anniversary, and not far off 100th anniversary for that.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Keith Conlon.
Thanks, Jenny.